Well, good morning to you all on this glorious Sunday morning. I always find it a great encouragement. I'm able to come and be with you. I understand that my time's coming to an end, which I've been praying for, as you've been praying for, that you would have a new pastor starting here soon. And so I was praying for you guys actually that morning as he was candidating. I was in church and all of a sudden I remembered, okay, this is Sunday. And I didn't listen to my pastor for a few minutes while I just sat there and prayed. So I'm grateful that that process appears to be coming to an end. One thing I'd ask prayer for our family, that you'd be in prayer for my wife, Janice, her mother, passed away last week, 85 years old, firm believer in God and in Christ. So we are grateful for that. But her passing is very sad. Janice's family is very, very small. It's her, her brother, and then me and the kids. That's the family. She's grieving that her mother is gone. So if you pray for her, I appreciate it. This morning, we're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Let's listen to God's holy and inspired word. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. For the free gift is not like the trespass. For if man died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass, brought condemnation. But the free gift, following many trespasses, brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Let's pray. O Lord God and Father, we come to you now to hear from your word, to hear from this word that is authoritative, that is inerrant, that is perfect and true. O Lord, we come and we bow our hearts before you that your spirit might use your word to teach us, to guide us, to strengthen us in our faith. May we walk out of here changed by our encounter with your word this morning. Be with me, the speaker. Lord, may I clearly articulate your word today, for I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, when I started to write this sermon, there was snow outside, at least in Massachusetts. And so I always like it when the snow starts to come around Christmas. It starts to feel a lot more like Christmas to me with the snow outside. I'm used to growing up in Central New York where, you know, we would have a foot on the ground by this time in north of Syracuse. And so it's sort of unusual to see grass. But I love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year as a child. Probably was the same for you. It was an occasion where I would be able to drink soda. I'd be able to eat all kinds of food that were not good for me, and that I'd be able to receive all my presents. Yet, do you see the emphasis I put there on my presents, right? So, but it was a great time. I will confess that when I was a child, I was all about receiving rather than giving. My mother knew those kids were not going to be ones that are going to be giving a lot of presents. So she would always like wrap a gift for dad and say it was from the kids. That really was a lie because I would have never given dad socks or a tie, right? You know, I would have tried to think of something more thoughtful, you know, like an Atari system or Nintendo or something, a game system that he really would have liked. But I guess she didn't ask me. Well, the older you get when it comes to giving, you become more thoughtful, right? You start giving to others as they've given to you, and you try to think of gifts, presents that they really would like, and you give a little bit more time to it. Well, at this time in the life of the church, we celebrate Christ and exchange gifts, but what does a really good gift look like? What makes a gift so special? Well, I can think of four quick ones. First of all, that a gift was wanted and needed, but not asked for. You ever had that occasion? You didn't ask for the gift, but you got the gift, and it turned out to be a wonderful gift, one that you really enjoyed. I felt that way a couple of years ago when my son got socks. Now, I have put a moratorium on socks, you know, because that started happening every year, but he gave me socks this one year, and they were Dr. Seuss socks, right? Not ones that I would dare wear on a Sunday morning, but those are very comfortable socks. And I consistently wear them because I just enjoy how they feel. My feet are very sensitive. So I need very, very soft socks. And so those are an occasion where I wasn't asking for it, but I got it and I enjoyed it. Another example of a great gift is a gift that is a reflection of the one who created it, or a reflection of the one who is giving the gift. The ones where a person used their own sweat or talent or time to create something. My mother was one of those kind of people that before Christmas, she'd always be knitting, you know, knitting something, a little jacket or something for the grandchildren, or knitting an afghan or something of that nature. And then she would give it to the various different people in our family. I remember her, you know, for months ahead of Christmas doing that. And it was very, very special. Rather than just going out to Macy's or going to Walmart and picking up something, she took her own time and her own talent and use that as an expression of a gift to her children. Another example of a gift, a great gift, is a gift that is an expression of love for someone. Gifts for Christmas or your birthday are typically given by someone who at least likes you. You know, you don't typically get a gift from a person who just can't stand you, right? You get a gift from a person who appreciates you and loves you. And certainly all of us have probably experienced those occasions where we have taken the time or we have received a gift from somebody that is very, very special to us. And probably, one example of a precious gift is, you know, when you give a wedding ring, right? It's something that is to be symbolic or express your love and affection for others. Well, at Christmas, we often will give gifts to people that we deeply care about, that we want them to know by this gift that they're special and that they mean something to us. One last example of a great gift is a gift that is sacrificial on the part of the giver. Some of the most teary-eyed gifts are those ones where we know that it really costs this other person to give that gift. I remember when our kids were younger, my wife grew up watching Little House on the Prairie. And so she wanted to introduce our kids to that. And so we would regularly rent a season of Little House and sit down and watch it. And I remember one of the shows that we saw was a Christmas special. And Charles, the father there, was intent on getting his wife a really, really nice gift. He wanted to buy her a cast iron stove. And so he went to the mercantile looking to buy it. And Mr. Olson there said, the one I have here, though, I've already sold. Well, he didn't know, and Mr. Olson would not disclose to him that it was actually their daughter, Laura, who had exchanged her horse for the cast iron stove for her mother for Christmas. Now, that is an extreme example, but it cost her much to give that gift to her mother. She loved her mother so much that she was willing to give something that she treasured to express that kind of love. So all of those are examples of what it means to give or what a good gift looks like. And so if you haven't done all your shopping for Christmas, I've given you now some examples of what to think about when you're giving a gift. But I also, as I think about gift giving, I think about the greatest gift that's ever been given to us that is spoken about here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. The greatest gift that I have ever received, and if you are one who believes in Christ, the greatest gift that you have ever received is the one that the prophet said, to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Or as the one the angels sang, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He is one who will come, who is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, clothes, and lying in a manger. That is the greatest gift that we have received. And I think in Romans chapter 5, we see examples of those four things that I was listing that make up a good gift. First of all, is that the gift of salvation was desperately needed, but not asked for. Just think about the situation as human beings. I mean, ever since the fall, man and women have been looking for a savior. They've been looking for something to rescue them. They know that they have an issue. They know they have a problem, and they're looking for something to resolve it. And so they're looking for different looking for the Savior that meets their needs. And they do that in all kinds of ways, right? They look at it through having power, or look at it through having money or resources, of being able to do what they want, or being able to be free of persecution or being oppressed. For them, that is their idea, or conception of a Savior. But that's not really the Savior they needed, right? Even the Jewish people during their time were looking for a Savior, but the one that they were praying for, the Messiah that they were looking for, was going to deliver them from the Romans, right? And it's going to reestablish the glory days of David and Solomon. That's what their idea of a Savior was. But was that really the Savior they needed? Was that really the biggest problem that they had? Was the problem the conflict that they had with Rome? Or was really the issue is that they had a conflict with God Almighty, right? Because of their sin nature. They needed a Savior that was going to deal with their issue and with their hearts that were turned away from God. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the gift. The gift is that now in Christ, we have peace with him. It wasn't a gift that we're all looking for. It's not a gift that we're typically looking for. It's not a gift that we ask for, but it's the gift that we desperately need. The second thing we see in this passage is that the gift of Christ was also was of himself and was very precious to him. The gift of Christ was not something created or knit together by our Lord. He didn't wrap it in the way we typically wrap a present, but rather he gave something that was of himself, something that was very precious to him. For as John speaks about in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord gave something that was extremely costly. Paul says in Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our Lord has given us something that is very, very precious to him. He was willing to suffer, allow him to be crucified and to be killed in order that we might be redeemed. Number three is that the gift of Christ, the gift of love, was not given to a friend or a loved one, but to an enemy. Like I said, you typically want to give gifts to people you like, to people that you appreciate in some way, to that one person that you just can't stand at the office, or that neighbor that just drives you nuts. They are not on your to-do list to find a Christmas present for, right? What is amazing about the gospel, what is amazing about God's grace, is that he takes a gift that is precious to him. He sends it to us, to those who are listed as his enemies, those who are opposed to him, those who are not seeking his power or seeking to provide him the worship that is due to him, but rather they were seeking to do the very opposite. They were those who were seeking to establish their own kingdom and have their own power and to exert their own will. And yet God, in his mercy and his grace and in his compassion, forgave us of our sins and gave us the gift of salvation. Romans 5:6 says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God had a shopping list for each of you. You are on that list. Even though you are looking for him, even though you were listed as an enemy, he took the time to find a gift that was just right for you and gave it to you in Christ. Last example is that the gift of Christ was expensive and very, very costly. For it was his only son. Romans 5:8 speaks, but God shows his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It speaks about in 1 Peter also, 1 Peter 1, verses 17, I think it's 18 and 19. But in that verse, Peter talks about how that what God gave to us was not just precious stones or gold or silver, but rather something that was deeply precious to him, something that he cared so much about. You know, the greatest gift that we ever can give to another person is our own life, right? That is the most expensive gift there is. And we see that often in the example of Christ. The greatest gift that we ever can give to another person is the gift of ourselves. This morning, as you think about Christmas, and as you are continuing to do all of your shopping and preparing for next Sunday morning, as you sit down for Christmas, ask yourself, what is the greatest gift I've ever received? What is the greatest gift I've ever received? And certainly you can probably remember a lot of the gifts that you have received over the seasons. But take the time to stop and reflect upon the gift that you received in Christ. It's a gift that keeps on giving, right? Year after year, day after day. It's something that we constantly should reflect upon and share with others. You often will tell other people about the gifts that you have received, especially if it was a good one, right? You're going to tell others about it. The same is true of the gift that we have received in Christ, right? This precious gift from our Father who loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son that we might have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. I know that in my family, we growing up in my at home when I was younger, my mom and dad always placed an emphasis upon before we'd open up any of our gifts on Sunday morning, we had to read God's word to remind us of what this is all about. This is not a day for you just to get all the things that you want and practice materialism, but rather a day that you focus on the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God and Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence with us. I thank you for Jesus, the best gift of all. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your great sacrifice and for your glory that was revealed in it. Oh, Lord, may we live lives wholly devoted to you. May we consistently remember this Christmas season of all that you have granted us in Christ and not take it for granted. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.